I can say that there were a lot of rich discussions that occurred during ICASA. Certainly, as always, I like to focus on prevention, where if you look at children, we are really looking to eliminating new HIV infections among children. And that means, you know, for women who are HIV positive, giving them lifelong treatment, first of all, for their own health and preventing new HIV infections to children. Then, of course, the issues around treatment, I think it was very much highlighted that pediatric antiretroviral treatment, including for young people and adolescents, is lacking behind, and that we need to be tackling some of those issues.
In terms of the financing in itself, to make sure that you are up to scratch in terms of making sure that you deal with this pediatric HIV AIDS issue, how are you doing in terms of resources?
In terms of resources, I can say, look, we have, during ICASA, showcased the innovative domestic financing, which is the AIDS levy, that has been given over to treatment and procurement of antiretroviral drugs, as well as, of course, other commodities and HIV prevention activities. But that's not nearly enough. And so we find that we do have to resource mobilize and work with development partners and funders such as the Global Fund to support some of the resources that we need to close the pediatric treatment gap.
What were the major highlights for you and your office in terms of what you have been doing before and what gaps could need to be closed?
I think one of the key highlights, if I can say so, was that, you know, Cuba became the first country to be validated as having attained elimination of mother-to-child transmission of HIV and congenital syphilis. And so for me, that's a big highlight because it's focusing on prevention to children. And then, of course, the WHO 2015 guidelines that are coming and the emphasis on testing, and if somebody tests HIV positive, on treating them without waiting for them to be sick or to have a low CD4 count. And I think that's a major paradigm shift from the current thrust we have on determining someone's CD4 count and then treating depending on whether the CD4 count was low or less than 500. So it's going to be different. It's going to be a test and a positive start treatment right away. And that's a big take home for me.
Now, turning our attention to prisons, what are you doing in terms of making sure that those in prisons also have, you know, as much assistance in terms of, you know, having the medication and all that is required if they are HIV positive?
I think the services are taken to inmates, but I don't want to comment in detail because I would refer, I think, to work that's being done by the National AIDS Council around prisons. I think they would have a lot more detail. But otherwise, services are taken also to inmates. And we have actually tried also with the training, because as you know, the prison services got healthcare workers, whether they are nurses or doctors, and they are also trained to manage HIV-related problems and to give antiretroviral treatment.
And in terms of your goals, you know, as the head of this crucial department within the Ministry of Health, what are your goals going into 2016?
I think the goal is very clear. We have set targets, you know, for HIV prevention, care and treatment. We have bought into the UNAIDS 90-90-90. And this is essentially saying by 2020, 90% of people who are HIV positive have been tested. That means increasing testing. And 90% of those who are positive are initiated on treatment. And then, of course, lastly, 90% of those on treatment have got viral load suppression. So I think that's the vision we have as a ministry, to also move in with the 90-90-90 by 2020 and then ending AIDS by the year 2030. That's the vision we have.